One of the things... one of the things I would like to look at today is, as we read the Bible, God speaks about the new heaven and the new earth, and He speaks of it as you would look at Israel, as He made a promise to Abraham and these people that they would give them a land that they would inherit. You see, as you start reading in Genesis, as God called Abram out of early Chaldees, and you see He made a promise that He will give him a land that he would inherit, and it seems like but this land is pointing to something else. It's pointing to something else, and that's what I would like to look at today. But before I get into that, this land, although Israel did get the land that God promised them, and we will look at this a little bit later, this land is a picture of the new heaven and new earth, which the true believers will get on October 21, 2011. But before that, let's look at Revelation chapter 21. God speaks about this where only the true believers, only God's elect will inherit the new heaven and the new earth. Only the true believers. So if you're not saved, if God is not your Savior, this really doesn't pertain to you. It doesn't pertain to you because you will not inherit the new heaven and the new earth. Only the true believers will come into this great blessing. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. Here God is giving us a picture of the new heaven and the new earth. And it's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, those who are saved, all from all over the world, shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Here God has given us a description of the new heaven and new earth, and who is going to be there. Only those who are truly saved will be inheritors of the new heaven and the new earth. But those who are not saved will not enter in. They will not be a part of the new heaven and the new earth. Because it says here in verse 27, and says, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those who have had their sins paid for, they are the only ones who's going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and new earth. Those who are not saved will not be there. And look at another verse. Chapter 22, start reading in verse 12 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 16. God is telling us who's going to be in the new heaven and new earth. And it says, verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, those are his people, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, now God is going to describe the unsaved. In verse 15, for without are dogs. And you know, dogs, they are an unclean animal. And God is speaking about the unsaved as dogs. They're unclean. And sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They will not be in the new heaven and new earth. See, they're going to be outside. They will not be included in that great in the new heaven and in the new earth. Let's look at another verse in Psalm 101. So God is making it very clear to us who will be in the new heaven and in the new earth. In Psalm 101, verses 6 to 8. Psalm 101, verses 6 to 8. Here he says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me." The faithful of the land are those, are God's people, his elect. They will dwell with Christ forevermore. "He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house." Those are the unsaved. They will not dwell in the new heaven and the new earth. They're dogs. They're going to be outside. They're going to be destroyed forever. And he goes on. Let's read verse 7 again. "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Those are the unsaved. They're going to be outside. They're going to be left here on May 21, 2011. And they're going to be punished for their sin. And October 21, 2011, they're going to be destroyed forevermore. So those who have not had their sins paid for will not dwell with Christ. They're going to be outside. They're going to be left here to come under the wrath of God. And one other verse, if you look at Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. And there are many such verses in the Bible. God speaks about the unsaved, that they will not dwell with God forever. They will not be there. God's going to destroy them. Yeah, and beginning on May 21, 2011. And in verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. "For the upright," and who are the upright? God's elect. Because they have no righteousness within themselves. God has made them righteous. That's why they're called the upright. It says, "For the upright shall dwell in the land." And we know that land there is a new heaven and a new earth. "And the perfect shall remain in it." That's when we become saved, spiritually become perfect. Then we're going to remain in this land forevermore with God forever. And in verse 22, "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth." Those who won't be a part of the new heaven and new earth, they're going to be cut off. And God uses cut off in the Bible throughout the Old Testament to talk about the unsaved. They're going to be cut off from the earth. They're going to be destroyed forevermore. And it goes on, "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." They're going to be completely destroyed come October 21, 2011. So you see, the unsaved will not be there. And if you're not saved, if God is not your Savior, that is not pertaining to you. You will not be a part of this blessing that God has given to his elect. So this is very, very important. And that's why it makes salvation so very, very important. It should be priority number one in all of our lives, seeing that each one of us is only a breath away from death. God could take any one of us at any time. You could be healthy and young and in your prime of health, and yet this could be your last day. It could be my last day. So salvation should be priority number one, and this is going to be the lot of the wicked come May 21, 2011, judgment. And that's terrible. That's terrible. But let's go on a little bit further. If you go back to Genesis, God speaks about the land in Genesis, beginning in Genesis chapter 12. And we know that although God has gave Israel the land he has promised them, we know that that's not what God had in mind. It's a picture or a figure of something else. See, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, there we read, "Now Jehovah had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth. I believe here God is speaking with the town. He's going to be saving a great multitude from all over the world, from all different races and nations, is going to be saved. And they're going to come into this land that God had promised Abram. And verse 4 says, so Abram departed as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And Jehovah appeared unto Abram and said, unto thee and thy seed. And to be careful with this word seed, I believe this is pointing to Christ. And to thy seed will I give this land. And they and there built he an altar unto Jehovah who appeared unto him. See, here's the promise that God had given to Abraham, that he's going to give him this land. He's going to be there. And here, he didn't know where he was going. He's all by faith, as you read in Hebrews. By faith, he disobeyed God. And God made him a promise that he would give him this land, the land of Canaan. And the land of Canaan is a picture of what? It's a picture of something. You know, it's pointing to something. The land of Canaan, which God would give to him, is a picture of heaven, that had no heaven and no earth, which the true believers will come into and on October 21, 2011, when God will destroy this universe and then recreate a new heaven and new earth. So when God is speaking about this land that they would inherit, it is not this earth. We know this earth will be destroyed. So it can't be this earth. And many people believe that it is this earth that God is speaking about. But it's not. Let's turn over to Genesis 13, verse 12 to 18. God tells more about that. Genesis chapter 13, verses 12 to 18. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt within the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Jehovah exceedingly. And Jehovah said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. It's a promise he made. Look at the 4 points. This is land God said he would give to Abram. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Forever. We know it's not this earth. But one way God has used this word seed here, if you hold your hand here in Genesis and you go over to Galatians, God gives us more information on this. In Galatians chapter, I believe it's Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 16. See who God's speaking about here, the seed. Not you saying seeds, but seed, which is one. It's pointing to Christ. To thy seed will I give it forevermore. In Galatians 3:16 we read, Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. See, who's that seed there God is speaking to about here in Genesis chapter 13? He's pointing to Christ. See, we will dwell with Christ forevermore in the new heaven and the new earth. And it goes on, verse 16 of Genesis chapter 13. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, as that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and of the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto Jehovah. So all this land God had promised Abraham, and to his seed will he give it. We know it is not this present earth. This earth will be destroyed very shortly. Let's look at, but did God give Abraham this land that he promised them? It seemed like God had forgotten. Abraham died. If you pick that up in Genesis 25, did he get it? This land that he had promised? Abraham died soon after. If you look at Genesis 25, we read about the death of Abraham there. In Genesis 25, verse 7 and 8, he died. He didn't get this land that God had promised him. The Bible tells us he died in faith. Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8, it says, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years, which is 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. He died. God has forgotten his promise. And you will... And as you read on in the Bible, you see many, many years went by. God raised up Moses and so forth and so on. And Israel went into Egypt for 430 years. Where is the fulfillment of this promise? Where is it? It's as if God has forgotten. And it went on and on. And then God raised up Joshua. And then you see God used Joshua in a mighty way as he fought. And God gave him all this land. And then... we see where now God, if you look, go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Abraham understands some things as God made this land, as he promised him this land. He did understand some things, that this wasn't the land that he was looking forward, he was looking at. This wasn't the land. Many people may not see that Abraham understood that this wasn't his home. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 13, Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith. Abraham, he died. It's the faith of Christ. All these died in faith, not having received the promises. Jacob, Esau, Abraham, they all died not receiving it. They didn't see it. They didn't see the fulfillment of it. He says, these all died in faith, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see? And it says, for verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16, but now they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And God goes on. See, that's not what they were looking at, this physical earth. That's not where they seek another country, because they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And as if you are saved here, this is not our home. We're all strangers and pilgrims in the earth. We are just a passing through. And this fulfillment for all God's people will be, in a sense, in May 21, 2011, but in its truer sense, on October 21, 2011, when God destroys this universe and creates a new heaven and a new earth. So you see, Abraham did understand things, that this wasn't his home. If you look at back over to Genesis 23, turn back over to Genesis 23, verses 1 to 4. God tells us that Abraham understood what God was speaking about, because he was seeking a country whose builder and maker was God himself. In Genesis 23, verses 1 to 4, there's the point here where Abraham did understand that this earth wasn't the fulfillment of that promise that God has given to him. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjat Arba, the same is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abram stood up before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger. Here's Abraham speaking. God is moving him to say these things. Here he's saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. So he understood that this promise God had made to him was not in this earth, because he himself is saying that he's a stranger and a sojourner. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. So here he understood that he was a stranger and a sojourner in this earth, and this is not where he had his focus on. This earthly promises, this earth is in a heavenly. This promise here has not been fulfilled as yet in the true sense of the word for God's people, because we are the inheritors of the new heaven and new earth, and not the unsaved. This is their lot, this earth, and they're going to be destroyed along with it. So if you're saved, we're to look away from the things of this life. It's temporal. It's going to be destroyed shortly. What value will these things of this world have after May 21, 2011? None whatsoever. It's of no value. So as true believers, our eyes, our focus ought to be on spiritual things. Remember what God tells us in Colossians chapter 1? I think it's chapter 3. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is where our focus ought to be, and not on the things of this life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, we've been born again. God has given us a new resurrected spirit within us. And that happens to every true believer when we become saved. Remember in Ezekiel 36, God says he gives us a new heart and a new spirit. You see, if we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's where Abraham's heart was. And if you're a true believer, that's where your heart ought to be, on things above. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. See, God is pointing us to set our hearts, our love, on things above, not on the things of this life. You see, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, that's a very strong statement. Christ now is our life. Christ lives within us. He's everything to us. Everything in the true believer's life. You see, Christ is our life. He lives, he indwells us. You see. And it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He shall appear. There's no doubt about that. He shall appear. You see, in May 21, shall appear. Then shall he also appear with him in glory. And God goes on and tells how to mortify the deeds of the body and all these things. You see, so we have to look away from the things of this life and put our focus and our attention on not my career or all these things that the world goes after, but after heavenly things, spiritual things. God, he admonishes us not to love this world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. You see, we ought to seek after spiritual things. But let us go on a little bit further. So, here the land that God had promised Abraham. He's died and many years have went by. And yet, we see God, God is in control of all things. And we see God raised up Joshua. And all the fighting that he did and all these things. Let's turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua. And you see how he warred and all these things. And God fought for Israel. And God, when he says something, he does what he says. He means what he says. Although time may go by and so forth, and God promised that he would come again, and hundreds of years and all this world been going on for over 13,000 years and he hasn't returned. God has forgotten his promise. No. He can't forget. God is faithful to his word. Everything he has said, he will do it. You know, what he says, he will do it. God is God. And look at Joshua chapter 23. Start reading in verse 6. God did fulfill the promise to Abram to give them this land. Joshua 23 verse 6. Here we read, "Be therefore very courageous." God here speaking to Joshua. "Be therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that he turn not aside therefrom, to the right hand or to the left." So, you know, we could learn a lot from this. When God is commanding us to do something, we ought to do it. We don't turn to the right hand, so to speak, or to the left. We stay focused on God, as God has declared to us from the Bible that May 21 is Judgment Day. God is teaching it in the Bible, and we shouldn't be worried about what other people think or what they say to us. It's expected to be that way. God will do what he says. We don't have to worry about the logistics or the details of it. God will do what he says. He's absolutely faithful to his word. But here we read, God is encouraging Joshua, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that he turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that he come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither made mention of the name of their gods, nor caused to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto Jehovah your God." See, when God gives us his word, his promises, we cleave unto them. It's become very important in a true believer's life. There's nothing more important than God's word, as he hath done unto this day. "For Jehovah has driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for Jehovah your God, he is it that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love Jehovah your God." And this is a warning to all of us. Take heed that we love Jehovah, God of the Bible. You know, and the only way we know that we're going to love Jehovah God is when God has truly saved us. That's the only way we can love him with all our heart. And it goes on in verse 12. "Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for certainty that Jehovah your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until he perish from off this good land which Jehovah your God has given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." In other words, Joshua is going to die. You know, "and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing had failed of all the good things which Jehovah your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass." See, remember when God used Joshua to divide up these land to give to them. God has given it to them. He promised Abraham this land. Although Abraham had died previously, God did do what he said that he would do to Abraham. He gave him this land. You see, all came to pass unto you, and not one thing had failed thereof. He did give them this land that he had promised them, the physical land. God gave it to them. But we know that this is not what God is speaking about. It's a type or picture pointing to the new heaven and the new earth, which will be the believers forevermore. Forever. You know, there are many people, when you start speaking about May 21, 2011, they're up in there, especially those who are in the church. You're telling them that Judgment Day is almost here. They're up in arms over it. Is it? You know, they love this earth. They love this earth. Remember a gentleman who was with Paul, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Demas. He's a picture of those in the church who weren't saved. He looked like he was saved with Paul. He was there. But look where his heart was. He loved this present life. And there are many who love the things of this world. They love this world. And when you start talking about Judgment Day, they know what Judgment Day means. You know, oh, the end. And everyone knows that there's an end coming. Man, the moment you start talking about Judgment Day to somebody, oh, I'm saved, they know that Judgment Day is the end. This world is going to be burnt up, and they're beside themselves. But for the true believers, you know, depending on what side of the fence you're on, true believers look forward to that day when we will come into the new heaven and new earth forevermore, when all sin and all this is gone. No more disappointments, no more heartache, no more troubles, no more death. All this is gone. And we look forward to that day. But for the unsaved, they're up in arms. But God did say what he would do, and he picks it up again also in Nehemiah. You got Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. So right after Ezra is Nehemiah. If you look at Nehemiah 9, God did give them this land that he had promised them. Nehemiah 9, verses 6 to 8. Nehemiah 9, verses 6 to 8. Thou, even thou, art Jehovah alone. Thou hast made heaven and the earth. It says, let me read over again. Thou, even thou, art Jehovah alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heaven. There ever doubt that God is the creator of all things? He is. With all the hosts, their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. Who keep this world going? God is. God does. He said he preserveth them all, the whole universe. God is in absolute control of it. You see. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Verse 7. Thou art Jehovah, the God which didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to thy seed, and has performed thy words. God gave, he gave them this land that he had promised them. He performed it. He did it. For thou art righteous. God is right. When he says something, he does it. So he did give them this land that he had promised them. You know, he was, God is faithful to his promises and commitments which he had made. But once again, we know that this is not the true fulfillment of this in the entirety. We know that God is pointing to the new heaven and earth. If you look at 1 Peter, a familiar chapter, and we all should be familiar with this by now. This is 2 Peter, chapter 3. That's 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. So we know this earth is going to be destroyed. So this is not what God had in mind. This heaven, this earth here that we're living in, this world is sinful. It's crying out to God for judgment. So we know that God has to be speaking about the new heaven and the new earth. Let's turn back over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. He says, by faith, he sojourned, speaking about Abraham again, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. Speaking about Abraham, this is where he was looking. It says, for he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So God gives us more insight of what Abraham was looking at. It wasn't this earth he's looking at. He was looking at the heavenly city, which builder and maker is God himself. And look at Isaiah 60. See, it's the new heaven and the new earth which the true believers will live in forevermore. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18 to 22. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but Jehovah shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for Jehovah shall be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. See, new heaven, new earth. The branch of thy planting, the work of thy hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, Jehovah, will hasten it in its time. It's the new heaven and the new earth. And there are many, many other such verses. Let's look at one last verse. Revelation 21, is it what God is speaking about? Revelation 21, verse 1. Here we read, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there shall be no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. You see, God himself will be with his people in a new heaven and new earth, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things or pass away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, these are the true words. For these words are true and faithful. And he says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is the ultimate fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham about this land. It is the new heaven and new earth. And only those who have had their sins paid for, only those who have been born again, will be inheritors of this new heaven, new earth. And when you imagine, this is only 5 months away. 5 months away, when Judgment Day begins and the true believers will be caught up to be with Christ, and October 21, 2011, this world will be forgotten and will exist no longer forevermore. And there we will be with Christ forever. Okay. Let's stop here and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy word and for all the promises you have given to us from thy word. Thy word is true. And, O Lord, we thank you, O Lord, that you are still saving a great multitude of people. There could be someone here who is not a child of God. O Lord, could it be that you might have mercy, that you will convict this person and work in them, O Lord, if it be thy will. O Lord, bless us for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a 10-minute break. This is a short Sunday.